Corinthians things about the church of Christ. You hear such strange things about the church of Christ. There are 2 points to be covered today, and we're hoping that in fact the 2 points can be dealt with within the time that I have. While I am at it, God's willing, Sunday coming, I hope to have a 2-part lesson. Title: God Cares About Your Tears, Your Hurt, and Your Concern. God cares about your hurt, about your tears, and about your concern. In this 2-part lesson, hopefully, we will be looking on the fact that no hurt, no tears, no challenge we face is beyond the ability of God, and that God does care. Sunday coming, a 2-part lesson that the things that hurt you, the things from which you are hurting, the things that you care about, your challenges, God is not unmindful of them. But today, we look at, as I've said, on the final lesson. We look on the fact that people accuse the Lord's body, the Church of Christ, of not believing in the Bible because they say we reject the Old Testament. We believe in the entire Bible. We look on the fact that people accuse us of the fact that we think only we and our little group going to make it to heaven. No, sir, we believe that all men and women who submit to God's plan as revealing the gospel will make it to heaven. We are accused of talking about other church and criticizing too much. The Almighty God prays at least one congregation bearing revelation because they do that very thing. We are accused of not believing in the work of the Holy Spirit in conversion. We do believe what the Holy Spirit reveals about Himself in conversion. And then the last lesson we look at was the fact that we are accused of not believing in music, in worship. We believe in having music in worship, but because there are two kinds of music, we are under obligation to use the music which God commands. And today, we examine two final, strange accusations. One accusation is, you are too dead and cold. Can we look at this subject? Ladies and gentlemen, our visiting friends, brothers and sisters, I would like to address that point by pointing out that not only are we not dead and cold, but there is nothing around in this world hotter than any functioning congregation of the Church of Christ. I repeat, not only are we not dead and cold, but there is nothing on this earth that is hotter and more alive than any functioning congregation of the Church of Christ. I would like to begin by correcting and repudiating a falsehood, a misconception, and an ignorance. I want to start by repudiating and correcting a falsehood, a misconception, and an ignorance. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 20. Let us hear the text. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 20.
I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot.
Jesus Christ said to this congregation, I know your works. Read.
That thou art neither cold nor hot.
That you are neither cold nor hot.
I would. Thou art cold or hot.
I would you would choose one of them. Read on.
So then, because thou art lukewarm.
Because you are lukewarm.
And neither cold nor hot.
And you are neither cold nor hot.
I will spew thee out of my mouth.
I am going to spew you out of my mouth.
Because thou sayest.
Because you say,
I am rich.
I am rich.
And increase with goods.
And I increase with material things, goods.
And have need of nothing.
I have need of nothing. All our physical and material needs are supplied.
And knowest not that thou art wretched.
Christ says, with all these material things, you didn't know that you are wretched.
And miserable.
And you are miserable.
And poor.
You are poor.
And blind and
you
naked.
You are blind.
And naked.
And naked. Stop there. Now, what did I say? that up front, I would like to correct and repudiate an ignorance, a falsehood, and a misconception by men and women who have read this passage, and give the word hot and cold their own meaning. We need to understand what is under consideration here. But before we look, what was Jesus Christ accusing this congregation of? Let us look what he was not accusing them of. The passage is not talking about bodily exercise. It's important that you get that. The passage is not talking about emotionalism. The passage is not talking about blowing off steam. The passage is not talking about clapping a hand and jumping all over the place. The passage is not talking about releasing suppressed frustration. That's not what the passage is talking about. Emotionalism and dancing in church and clapping of hands and going on like you are mad. That's not what the passage is talking about. Please. Many men and women read what they like, and their ignorance into this passage. That's wrong. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8.
For bodily exercise profiteth little.
Start again.
For bodily exercise profiteth little. But good.
Jonathan, it says bodily exercise profit.
Little.
Little bit. Brother, you know what that means? Going to the gym has its benefit. But that benefit is nothing to be compared with spiritual exercise. Bodily exercise, clapping hand and amen, hallelujah, and going on like you are mad. Paul said, that profit little. That's not what the text is talking about. Bodily exercise profit
little.
Little.
But godliness is
godliness
is profitable unto all
men. Is profitable unto all men. So the passage was not talking about bodily exercise. Brothers and sisters, don't read into a text what you like. What was under consideration by Jesus Christ and condemnation by Jesus Christ was the congregation attitude of indifference, their ignorance, and their mistaken the good life for the righteous life. This congregation mistook the good life materially, physically, socially, for the righteous life. The congregation accumulated material things. They were well off materially. And you know what? It caused them to have misplaced priority. It caused them to have their values shifted and their focus shifted. Read the passage again. This time read from just around verse 17, 18, or somewhere about there. Because, pick up where. Because.
Thou sayest. I am rich. And increased goods.
I increase in goods.
And have need of nothing.
My God. They were in desperate spiritual need. But they didn't know it. That's a warning to us, you know, both as an individual Christian and as a congregation. We have to make sure that we keep our sense of proper value in its right place, both as individual Christian and as a congregation. Read that again, Brother Blake.
Because thou sayest.
Wait, because thou sayest. This, you know, this is where the coldness and not being hot or cold come from. It has nothing to do with throwing yourself on the bench and jumping up, hallelujah, pray. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with their priority that was way off. Matthew, read.
Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind.
You hear that? They were wretched, they didn't know it. That's the greatest of tragedy. Yeah. They were miserable, they didn't know it. That's the worst of tragedy. They were poor and didn't know it. That is spiritually, you know, when it's you are poor. They thought they were rich because they had material things. That's we must make the application, you know, to self and congregation. You understand? Our material status. Was it in this discussion or somewhere here we have a discussion where it came up, the fact that a lot of times, because things are going well with us at the workplace. Are we there? Because things are going well socially, politically, economically. We get carried away and we think everything is okay. Jesus Christ is serving notice here that we must be careful that we are not blinded by what seems and appear to be professional, material, social success, because that is what caused the condemnation. And this congregation, this was what under consideration that they were at a type of neutral ground. They were neither one thing nor the other in the sight of God. Jesus Christ was encouraging them, truth, whether you want to be cold or hot, and that is whether you want to be a part of the world or a part of Jesus' kingdom. You see, their attitude of indifference, their ignorance and their mistaking, as I've said, that the good life economically, socially, they mistook that for the righteous life. It is not. It wasn't then, neither is it today. One of the worst things about the attitude and the state of this church at Laodicea, as I have said, was their total ignorance of their true state and their spiritual condition. May I? You see, it's one thing to be sick. It's terrible when we do not know how serious the sickness is. Truly. And that is both physically and spiritually. It's one thing to be spiritually poor and to deceive ourselves that we are spiritually rich. Verse 17.
Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not.
Stop there. And knowest not. That's what makes it worse. Knowest not that thou art
wretched and miserable.
You are miserable
and poor.
You are poor
and blind.
You are blind
and naked.
Wait, that's a lot of indictment. Are we there? That's a lot of indictment from Jesus Christ. As a result, this congregation of the Lord's church was providing neither refreshment for the spiritually weak, nor healing for the spiritually sick. They were not in the position. That is, the congregation was not in the position to do it, because it has its priority completely mixed up. It had nothing to offer to those who were spiritually weary, are those who are spiritually sick. This congregation had become too worldly. It lost its sense of what true value was. You remember, that's what distinguished Moses? Moses knew what true value was, and God in his word, praise him for that. That when Moses reached the right age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, exalting the reproach of God rather than the riches of Egypt. Are you there with me? Have you ever read that? It's in the Bible. That's right. Well, this congregation at Laodicea went the very opposite. Because it increased in material things, it felt that everything was okay when everything was wrong. Are we there, brothers and sisters? Promotion at work is good. But be careful what you read into it. Are we all there? Are we all there? Pursuing your material goals is good. But be careful how it diverts you from spiritual growth. Are we all there? Be careful how it costs you to put Christ, Christianity, and the church at the bottom step. Are we all there? Being ambitious is good. But be careful that you are not over ambitious. And that your ambition to get and to achieve does not cause you to put a low value on your spiritual life and the application you need to make to grow, to be involved in the work of the church, and to honor Jesus Christ as a top priority. Be careful. Because what has happened to the church at Laodicea happens to individual almost daily. Are we there? Be careful of your desire. For wanting and getting that becomes so strong that you give only second consideration to your spiritual life. In fact, there are Christians who never seriously give consideration to whether they are growing or whether they are stagnant or taking retrograde steps. Many Christians have never done that. They have never asked themselves, over the past 2, 4, 5 years, have I grown qualitatively? Am I closer to Jesus Christ? Am I involved today more in the work for Jesus Christ than I was 2, 3, 4 years ago? There are many Christians just gallons off. Wait. If this congregation at Laodicea was taking step to assess, are we there? To assess itself, it might not have drifted so far. How could a congregation drift to the place where, Brother Blake again?
Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched.
That's it. You don't know that you are what?
Wretched.
You are wretched. Read that.
And miserable.
You are miserable.
And poor.
You are poor.
And blind.
You are blind. How could they have drifted so far and don't know it? This also happens to individuals. Are we there? Are we there? Thou art neither cold nor hot. It has nothing to do with jumping and prancing and clapping of hand and shaking body and making noise in worship. Nothing. That's right. That was not in God's mind. It's their warped priority. They have lost the sense of spiritual worth and value. Jeremiah helped us to understand at least some of what is meant to be hot for God. Chapter 20, verse 9. Chapter 20, verse 9.
Then I said,
Then Jeremiah said, I say,
I will not make mention of him.
Jeremiah said, I told myself that I will not make mention of God or his word anymore.
Nor speak anymore in his name.
I'm not going to speak in God's name anymore.
But his word was in mind. It was in mine heart as a
God's word
was in mine heart.
Was in mine heart
as a burning fire.
As a burning fire.
Shut up in my in my bones.
In my bones.
And I was weary with forbearing.
Of keeping God's word in.
And I could
Brother. Jeremiah became like a boiler. Where the safety release valve was locked off and is going to explode. But notice what was the play here. What was the play in Jeremiah's life was conviction and boldness as it relates to the word of God. May I? If you are a true child of God, you cannot be ashamed of Jesus Christ for long. Wait. You're at your workplace. Nobody knows that you're a Christian. You're afraid or you're ashamed to invite friends to church. If you're a true child of God, you can do that only for a little while. Because sooner or later, your conscience will bother you so much, you lose night rest. Boldness and conviction. The church at Laodicea lacked that. They were too focused on their material things. And a lot of times we become too focused on achieving our material things. Truly. Until all along, all the way, the church, Christianity, being involved in the work of the church, it takes second place, it takes third place, it takes fourth place. We never exalt Christ and Christianity and the church the first place. That's what happened to this congregation. Jeremiah said that his words was in my boat like a burning fire. That is hot for Jesus Christ. Where you must speak out. You must share Christ. Why? You can't help it. You can't help it. Conviction and boldness in respect to Jesus Christ, the truth. Spiritual mindedness. Huh? And don't get confused. Now miss your focus through worldliness and material things. That's what happened to the church at Laodicea. That's why they were neither cold nor hot. It had nothing whatsoever with what people call hot today. Your people will come visit here and they notice you're not clapping and shaking your body and making a lot of noise. In fact, most of the world out there make the more noise, rather you are rational about it or know what you are saying. Just make some noise and for them you are hot. As far as God is concerned, that has nothing to do with spiritual hotness. Nothing. And that's not what Revelation was talking about. As the context revealed. Because when Jesus Christ, from around verse 16, 17, they tell you that because you say this, Christ was saying, that's why you need a coal in our heart. That's what he was addressing. Showing them that here is why you need a coal in our heart. It's the shiftness in your priority. What is important? The boldness, conviction, spiritual value, spiritual mindedness, working for Jesus Christ. That is what demotes you to where you are ignorant, you are wretched, you are blind, you are miserable. Are we there? If your priority, your value system is in place, where you put Jesus Christ, Christianity and the church at its rightful place, it comes first. If you have conviction, you are spiritual minded, what does that mean? You want to serve God. You are putting out effort to serve God. It is a priority for you. Then your heart for Jesus Christ. That's right. But if coming church is just one of those things, when you have some time, and in the week, most of your efforts are put out, most of your thoughts and meditation is at things of the world. That's what concerns you. That's what bothers you. That's what ruffles your feather. Things of the world. You have no deep concern about the church, the work of the church. Then you're not even cold. You're freezing. So we have to watch that. Both as a congregation and as individuals. Huh? But if we maintain, with God's help, respect for God's word, for the church, we put out effort to be engaged for Christ, be that we are at work or wherever, we are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. We recognize our responsibility to God to reach out to the unsaved, to reach out to others. We try to be unselfish with the material blessings that God gives us, where we see men and women are in need, and it is within our power to help. We want to help, and we help. Then we are on fire for Christ. But never make the mistake, please. Never make the mistake in thinking that it means jumping and prancing and making irrational noise. Never. The passage has nothing to do with that. May I now touch on the last and final subject? And this is another accusation. Another strange accusation directed at the body of Christ is, you believe in water salvation. My reply to that accusation is, that we believe in water salvation is, yes, in a sense, we do believe in water salvation. May I? That, in a sense, will believe in water salvation, this places us in high class company. Let us turn first to the book of you know, my intention was to start way back in the book of Genesis, or Exodus, that by believing in water salvation, that places us in high class company. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter rather, chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. Let us have this passage read quick. Let us have it.
For Christ also hath once suffered
but
for
Jesus
sins.
Jesus Christ also once suffered
for sins.
For sin.
That just for the unjust.
The just for the unjust.
That he might bring us to God.
That he might bring us to get to God.
Being put to death in the flesh.
Being put to death
in the flesh.
In the flesh.
But quickened by the Spirit.
But quickened by the Spirit.
By which also he went and preached.
By which Spirit he went and preached.
Unto the spirits.
Unto the Spirit in prison.
Which sometime were disobedient.
Those spirits were the ones who were disobedient in the time of Noah. Read, brother.
While the ark was prepared.
While the ark was in the process of being ready or prepared.
Wherein few. That is.
Eight souls.
Were saved.
Were what, brother Jonathan?
Were saved by water.
Were saved by what, Jonathan?
By water.
Were saved by what, Jonathan?
By water.
Jonathan, save and salvation is almost the same word. Are we there? When you are saved, it means you get salvation. Who saved them by water? God. What did God use? Water. So God believes in water salvation. We are in high company when we believe in water salvation. You have just seen it there. God saved them. But he used water. How is that, Brother Mitchell? Quick. The water was used to transport them out of a wicked, corrupt, sinful world into a new world. The water creates a transition. Same way baptism. But the fact is, they were saved by, you notice it didn't say they were saved by God. But you see, it takes for granted that we know that. That's right. But it does not want us to overlook that God used water. So God believes in water salvation. Let us run through a few more and we will be dismissed. Ladies and gentlemen, water salvation, we are in high class company. Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 through 21. Quick. And verse 40, verse 12. Quick. Exodus chapter 30, 17 following.
And the Lord spake unto Moses.
And the Lord spake unto Moses.
Saying,
say,
thou shalt also make a laver of brass.
Wait, brother. I'm so glad they have not erased this. It comes in so handy so many times. That's right. Let me hear it, brother.
Thou shalt also make a laver of brass.
You shall make a laver of
brass.
Brass. You see here? L-A-V-E-R. This is the tabernacle. Are we all there? Look here now. This front part represents the church. Truly. It was a type of the church. This back part represents heaven. It was the holy of holies. What is striking? You could never get here if you do not go through here. That's the way God has it designed. You could not enter the holy of holies unless you go through the holy place which stands for the church. And the Almighty God was showing His people and showing the world, no man will ever get to heaven this side of the cross unless you go through the church of Christ. But watch here. Before the priest could enter the holy place, which stands for the church, and do all of his business, offer incense and eat the shoe bread. You notice these were pointing to acts that we do in the church. Before the priest could enter here, the priest had to contend with water. With water. That's why this big bathtub was built out of brass by God's command. Are you at Exodus chapter 30 and verse 17? Start again, my brother, and hurry up.
And the Lord spake unto Moses. Saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass.
Thou shalt also make a laver of brass.
And his foot also of brass. To wash withal. And thou shalt put in between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar.
Wait. You know this where it's supposed to be put. What happened? Even the minute detail the Almighty God specified. It shall be put between the tabernacle and the altar. It couldn't be put anywhere else. Here is the burnt altar, where the priest burned things. And here is the laver, and this is the tabernacle. It must put between. Read, brother.
And thou shalt put water therein.
Wait. What are we talking about? Water salvation. God believes in it. Thank God we believe in it. Thou shalt put
water therein.
Water therein.
For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet.
Let me hear that again.
And for Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet.
For Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet. They must wash every time when they are going to enter the tabernacle. What does that symbolize? You cannot enter the church if you are not washed in baptism. That's right. What verse are you?
Verse 20. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation.
When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation.
They shall wash with water.
They shall wash with what?
Water.
With what?
With water.
With what?
With water.
With water. Verse 21, finish, brother.
So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not.
You see how serious it is? You see how serious it is? If you don't get baptized before you enter the church, well, for one, you cannot enter the church unless you are baptized. And if you don't get baptized, you are going to die eternally in the fire of hell. So God told them they must wash their hands and feet before they enter, or else they will die. Who will kill them? God would kill them. That's how serious God and water salvation is. Just 21 finished, brother.
And it shall be a statute forever to them.
You hear that? It shall be a statute forever throughout their generation. That is throughout the Israelites' generation. 40:12. Quick, brother. Another brother turned to 2 Kings 5. Quick. 40. Same Exodus. 40:12.
Thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons.
Thou shalt bring Aaron and his son
unto the door of the tabernacle.
Brother, you notice we are right at the door, you know. We are right at the door, the entrance to the tabernacle. That's the lava. You shall bring Aaron and his son at the door to the tabernacle
of the congregation.
Of the congregation.
And wash them with water.
And wash them in water. God believes in water salvation. The verse finished.
And thou shalt put up Aaron the holy garments and anoint him.
Step to the book of 2 Kings. Chapter 5 and verse 10. We are just running through some passages here to show that God believed in water salvation.
And Elijah,
in other words, if God is going to save us, both physical and spiritual salvation, the Almighty God is going to employ water. Read, brother.
And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times.
Somebody turn to the book of St. John chapter 9. St. John chapter 9 verse 7. Thou shalt what, brother?
Go and wash in Jordan 7 times.
Brother Blake, this is physical salvation. Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? So notice here. The Almighty God believes in water, be it that he's dealing with physical salvation or spiritual salvation. People talk about we believe in water salvation. We are in high company. Let me hear it. The brother is reading from the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. And what verse you are?
Verse 10.
Verse 10. Start again.
And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan.
Go and wash in Jordan, not just one time, not just two times, 7 times.
And thy flesh shall come again to thee,
and
thou shalt be clean.
And thy flesh shall come again unto thee. Brother Blake, to verse 14.
Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times.
Washed 7 times
in Jordan.
In Jordan.
According to the saying of the man of God.
According to the saying of the man of God.
And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child.
Brother Blake, the result God intended from what he commands us to do, that result is guaranteed.
Amen.
That's right. That result, is it the result from baptism for the removal of sin? That result is guaranteed. When the man washed in water, that's what we are talking about, you know, water salvation. The man's flesh became like that of a child. God believed in water salvation. That's right. Another passage. Let us turn to St. John chapter 9 verse 7.
and said unto him,
Go,
wash in the pool of Siloam.
Wash in the pool of Siloam.
Which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing.
Here is a blind man. And Jesus Christ told him, and go and find a particular water. It's the water that is at the pool of Siloam. The man went and washed and come back seeing. That's physical salvation. God believes in it. Let's look at one or two or some more cases and we're finished. Look at the book of Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 22, verse 16. Quick, brother. And somebody turn to the book of St. John 3:3-5. Acts 22:16.
And now why wait? Arise.
Wait. If you are here today as a visitor, you are here because you believe in God. Wonderful. But here is a question being asked to a prospective convert. The question is, why wait? Why wait? Read, brother.
Why tarriest thou?
The word tarry means to wait.
Arise.
Arise.
And be baptized.
And get baptized, brother Blake. If you didn't know, that means in water.
Amen.
Read, brother.
And wash away thy sin.
And wash away thy sin.
Calling on the name of the Lord.
God believes in water salvation. So when we believe in it, it places us in high company. Because you can't get higher than God. That's right. Arise. Get baptized and wash away your sin. Let us look at St. John chapter 3, verse 3 through verse 5. Quick, brother.
Jesus answered and said
Jesus
unto him,
answered and said,
Verily, verily.
Truly, truly.
I say unto thee. Except a man be born again.
Watch here. Born. Again.
He cannot see the kingdom of God.
He cannot see the kingdom of God.
Nicodemus saith unto him,
How can a man be born when he's old?
Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb?
Read on.
And be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily.
Truly.
I say unto thee. Except a man be
take
born.
Take time with me.
Except
born of the
water.
Water.
And of the Spirit.
And of the
Spirit. He cannot enter. Into the kingdom
wait,
of God.
Wait, brother. You see that God believes in water salvation? You know this? You talk about we believe in water salvation. We are in high company. Jesus the Master told this man, if you weren't born of the water and the Spirit, you'll never be saved. The water birth there is referring to baptism. And it says water. When people accuse you of believing water salvation, don't be on the defensive. You are on the offensive because you are right. You have nothing to be ashamed of. One or two more passages. Now look at this powerful passage found in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. In fact, let us hear first Titus chapter 3 verse 5 and Ephesians 5, 26, 25 through 26. Let us hear this
Not by works of righteousness.
Wait, not by works of righteousness.
Which we have done. But according to His mercy.
According to His mercy.
He saved us. By the washing.
Wait, take time with me now, brother. He saved us. Save us. By His washing, dear brother.
Yes, the washing.
W-S-H-I-N-G. By the washing
of regeneration.
Of Regeneration. By the washing of regeneration.
And the renewing of the Holy Ghost.
And renewing of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, what is this talk about? You see, it talks about what? Washing. Huh? Washing of regeneration. Now, let me see where to go now. First, let us go, hold the passage, because these are the two or three last passages. Hold the passage of Ephesians chapter 5 and go to Colossians chapter 2, 11 and 12. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. He saved us by what? The washing of regeneration.
In whom also ye are circumcised.
In whom also you are circumcised.
With the circumcision.
Wait. May I have your attention quick. Circumcision was the process whereby the foreskin of the male organ was removed. But may I? That symbolized something. That symbolized the removal of sin. Read again, brother.
In whom also he are circumcised.
Uh-huh.
With the circumcision made with those hands.
Uh-huh.
In putting off the body.
Wait, did you hear me say the removal, brother? The King James translation said putting
off.
Putting off. That's the concept in when the Almighty God gave circumcision to Abraham, the first person it was given to. The Almighty God was looking to Christ, Christianity, baptism, the removal of sin and the church. Putting off. Of what, brother?
Putting off the body of the sins. Of the sins of the flesh.
Of the sins of the flesh.
By the circumcision of Christ.
By the circumcision of Christ.
Buried with him
wait
in baptism.
Wait now, brother. What is interesting? Wait. What is interesting, Matthew? What verse is that?
12.
The last word in verse 11 is Christ?
Yes.
What about Christ?
The circumcision of Christ.
May I? Brother Blink. C-I-R-C-U-N. Let me abbreviate it. Of Christ. Huh? Brother Blink. You will see
a colon.
Eh?
Yes.
You know what that tells you, brother? It tells you that what comes after is explaining this.
Amen.
Are we all there? I'm closing, you know. But if you don't listen, it will take me a little longer to close. The circumcision of Christ, the colon, tells you that what comes after is explaining that. So let us hear now, what is the circumcision that belongs to Christ? Or the one that Christ does? The one that Christ carries out? Read now.
Buried with him in baptism.
Buried with him in
baptism.
Baptism.
Wherein also he.
From where also.
You are risen with him.
You are risen from the watery grave of baptism.
Through the faith of the operation of God.
That's where God carried out his surgery, brother. That's where God carried out his surgery to remove, putting off of the sins of our lives. So baptism is called the circumcision of Christ. It means the one carried out by Jesus Christ. And the Bible is telling us here plainly, by the very punctuation used, that it is talk about water baptism. God believes in water salvation. And last but not least, Ephesians now, chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. Definitely the last passage. Let us hear it.
Husbands, love your wives.
Love your wives.
Even as Christ also loved the church.
In the same way Jesus Christ loved the church
and gave,
and
himself
for it.
That he might sanctify,
and
cleanse it.
And cleanse it
with the washing of water.
And cleanse it
with the washing of water.
And cleanse it
with the washing of water.
And cleanse it
with the washing of water by the word.
I confuse you, brother. That's how confusing I am when I preach. But you notice with me what he cleansed it with. Huh? What with the washing of water by the
word.
Christ believed in water salvation. I'm telling you, that places us in high company. So I'm saying, let us remember that God believes in water salvation. Brothers and sisters, may I never forget this. The Almighty God has always You think I forget me, forget what I'm saying? No, sir. I just want to make sure you learn it and remember. Even though it's something I've said here so many times. The Almighty God has always used items from his creation to carry out the help that he wants to do for man. Always. Is it Moses' rod? Is it the River Jordan? Is it the brazen snake? We can just spend another hour listing items from God's physical creation that God has always used to help man in man's physical need or spiritually. You don't think the Almighty God had the power to just create a tall tree and put Noah, his three sons, and their wives and his wife in the tall tree? God could have done that. But he told Noah to build an ark. The items from the ark was from things God created. In closing, let me beg you, never question the item that God selects. Because it means you are questioning God. Never cry down the item that God used, because it means you are crying down God. Never reject the item that God selects to use, because it means you are rejecting God. If the Almighty God used water in our salvation, give God thanks for it and run to the water, because the result that God promised will be brought about. Today you can become a child of God. You have heard His word. Do you believe it? If you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, if you accept your sinful condition, yes, you are a sinner. Though you might be good and you might be kind, you are still a sinner. If you accept that you are a sinner, we are here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only person who can deal with your sin problem. But you know what? Water is a part of Jesus' plan. But before you reach the water, not only must you believe, you must repent. You must turn from sin to righteousness. Give up self and enthrone Jesus Christ in your life. You must not only repent, you must be willing to confess Jesus' name. And you must get to the water. That's where Jesus Christ will meet you with his blood to remove all your sins. You come from the water like a new person in God's sight.